This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge World Championships Wrap Up Podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Shee. Allie, how are you?
Allie, what?
I don't know. I told you, my brain is not fully functioning. I'm tired. I'm a little sick. It's not great over here. Okay. I'm trying to power through. I would sit out challenges like Claire if I could, but I can't.
Just going to tell you, I have not watched Survivor yet.
Okay. Well, that's not a spoiler because that happens every week.
I covered an episode in here, and then when you said it happens every week, now I know who you're talking about. You know what's so funny? As you were saying, you're like foggy or not doing so great, whatever. I was thinking immediately about myself, and I was going to be like, I got to tell him right now at the top that I haven't seen Survivor because he's going to mention it, not thinking about it at some point. And then as I thought that, you did it.
But yes, I'm doing good. Fun episode. Resetting the board.
So we're going to be back on a normal. I asked you how you were.
I'm just assuming it was implied. But yeah, reset the board for episode 4. We're starting fresh. This will be good.
So you know what's funny? I found myself very excited to watch this episode. I tweeted about this, I think, in promotion of our podcast last week, but I really did mean it. Like, I'm really excited about the season, way more so than Challenge CBS. We'll see how long this lasts. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding myself like looking forward to watching the episode, which sounds like a low bar, but with all of the TV available to us, I feel like sometimes even shows that I love can feel like a slog I push them behind other shows. Mm-hmm. I was jazzed, and I have to shout out the listeners. The quality of questions this week, like, I really feel like people who are watching this are engaged. Slaying. Big slay.
So it's so interesting. I wish I could put out like a, I think it would be skewed on my Twitter, but I would love to know the people that watch Challenge USA, like how many of them, A, if they had never watched it before, did they carry that over to the new Challenge season? Or if, you know, if they only really watched that, how many of them are carrying over to Paramount Plus? Or is this now back to like, the core, I feel like All Stars is a very like core Challenge fandom. I don't know if this is again like that core group or if there are people from the CBS or international pools that watch these people, like these people. Are they going out of their way to watch this season?
Okay. If you are a listener to the podcast, which is you said about Twitter is skewed, this is definitely skewed. If you're a listener to the podcast and you are not a normal, regular MTV Challenge viewer, write in and explain your viewership. It's linked at my Twitter at Lash Tweets.
Yeah. I would love to know if you had never watched the show and like USA brought you in. Because I feel like that was what they were hoping to do when they obviously brought the other shows on. And USA was kind of like the supercharged version of that. And then I wonder if people stayed with the show or if the final turned them off or if they just got bored of the show. I don't know. I would love to know the focus group answer of that.
It's funny on NGOG. We put that out once of like, maybe we just said like, nobody's listening who doesn't like know us from RHAP. And then like people have trickled in writing like, no, I just Googled, like a surprising number of people are like, I just Googled New Girl podcast and I've been listening and I have no idea what you're ever talking about, but I still listen. And that comes up like probably like once every month or so, we get a new person who's like hitting that episode in season one of the podcast and writing to us.
Yeah, no, that's so great.
Maybe this will happen for an undetermined amount of time that people will write in and be like, I'm from Argentina and I love the challenge Argentina. And Brian said that Argentina flopped and it was a big slay.
Yeah. What's funny is for like the Vanderpump Rules stuff, I never really watched Pump Rules, left in the Pump Rules podcast. So I did a lot of like Googling the Vanderpump Rules podcast. And a couple like the people that I listened to who were like regular people at the start were like, I bet we have a lot of new people listening this week. So let's just do a reset intro of who we are, which I found to be kind of funny. So maybe if there's like a big week episode, we should do like let's do a reset as to who, you know, Brian and Ali are doing this show.
I feel like we did that maybe when we joined Rob to talk about like the challenge CBS, probably. Like thinking that we'd get a lot of like those viewers. Now I was afraid of those viewers. So congratulations to the VPR people for welcoming in the mess chasers.
So did you catch the intro this week? The fun,
you know what?
Country.
Would you believe I didn't? I completely forgot.
Because it was right there. It was right there, front and center again. It's amazing.
But I watched it. At 6 a.m. on Wednesday. Were you impressed by that?
I was very impressed. Wait, so this does this drop like 3 a.m. or is this a midnight drop? It's crazy.
I only know from like Molly with Netflix that it's usually based on like Pacific time when the streamers drop. But I don't know. I hope to never need to find that out.
Right.
But no, I did. I rarely give you a window of time where I'm like, I've watched the episode well in advance and available. Normally, I need an hour and a half to watch the episode.
I've always said I've never understood why they do like the midnight. I know there's got to be a reason for it, but I don't get why, especially for a reality show like this, and then even more so for like the premiere and the finale. Why don't they just say like it's dropping like 8 o'clock Eastern at night to let people kind of watch it together as a community? I've never understood why they feel the need to make it always like that midnight or 3 a.m., 6 a.m. drop.
Which community are you prioritizing here? Because you're betraying us as a community of podcasters. It's very convenient that they drop it at midnight the day that it comes out.
I guess so. But for the Twitter community, the Twitter community is what I'm focused on.
Speaking of the Twitter community, I feel like we should acknowledge this at the top, and maybe 5.5 or 6 minutes into the podcast is no longer the top. But so Nelson was in a horrific car accident and has been. Did you hear about it first through Nelson, or had you heard the week prior because of the football player?
I didn't really read much into it. I heard this player saved someone. From like a burning car or like an incident. I heard something happened, but I didn't like think literally anything of it. Like I barely read, like I think I saw a headline about it. And even when I saw Nelson's post, I didn't even like reconnect it. Like, oh my God, that was this. And then when you see the article and this and it all comes together, it was stunning to see that it was connected to like a Vikings football player and an Uber driver and all that stuff. Pretty wild story.
So yeah, I think all we know or all I know at this hour is that Nelson was in a car accident on Sunday, like 2 Sundays ago.
I think his latest thing was in that he's been in the hospital for 10 days, something like 10 or 11 days. So, I think that traces back to last Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday morning time frame.
Yeah, I think it was like the football player was coming back from a workout and basically saw a man in a car that had lit on fire, like under a bridge, and it was freaking Nelson.
Crazy.
And four people like got together and pulled him out of this wreckage. And he is in horrific physical condition and requires like multiple surgeries. There's a GoFundMe out if people feel like they want to support. And it's a miracle he's alive. It is like an absolute miracle. Absolutely. That Nelson is alive.
No, it's an unbelievable story. It's to put those two connected to have like these stories happen is crazy. I'm glad to see that he's, you know, he's at least posted on Instagram. He seems like he's in recovery, hopefully, but the injuries look horrible. Some of the images he put up there look really scary, look really painful. But the fact that, you know, he's okay. Love to see if there's, I don't know if they do like a reunion for this show. Maybe he does like a zoom in just to like touch base and show his face to everyone and let everyone send their, you know, love and support his way, which would be really cool. But it was a horrific, horrific situation.
Yeah, so we're pulling for Nelson. We're grateful he's okay. And, you know, it's interesting, not that anyone's getting there. I really do think if anybody can, it almost reminds me, honestly, of, like, TJ. And, like, we have that iconic scene of TJ walking back into, like, the challenge arena after his terrible injury. And, like, Theo now we have, like, back after, like, what we thought would be maybe a challenge-ending injury. Like, I think if anybody has the stamina and the drive and the heart, will really test, like, put his expertise to good use, it's Nelson. Yeah. So if he's at any point able and ready and interested, like, we look forward to that moment and welcoming Nelson back. But it's really just for someone who's, physicality is like the main part of their job too. It's also like so heartbreaking for him.
Yep, absolutely. But he's got a lot of people looking out for him. He's obviously pretty well liked amongst all the challenge people. So I think he'll have a lot of support, a lot of people willing to chip in and lend a hand in his road to recovery.
So we'll be talking a lot about Nelson this week. Not much more probably about Nelson the rest of the season.
No, but
hopefully
not.
Again soon.
Yes. Hopefully, hopefully soon.
The main, I think, story. So you mentioned that they put us back on track, which, like, thank God. I have at the top of my notes, shout out to the good people at P Plus and everyone involved for putting us back on a regular schedule. Don't let me rescind this thanks by putting another to be continued next week. But sort of a consequence, I'm of two minds. One consequence is that we basically had 75% of the episode about the decision of who's going to get put into an elimination between Kellyanne and Tristan and Jody and Benha. Now, I did like that we got an opportunity to, like, really learn more about the other people. I feel like I'm learning their names. Like, there is a bigger learning curve here than a lot of seasons in terms of the cast.
Yep.
But it was a little slow to me, and I found myself being like, why are we acting like this is a decision, even though it ended up being a decision, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of had the same vibes. If it obviously was a much slower paced episode, there was no daily. It was just this, the one elimination, and even the elimination itself wasn't even that long. It didn't take up that much chunk of a time. But I think in the moment I found it slow. I was like, all right, let's move this along. This could have been like a half hour episode even. But I think in retrospect, looking back on it, I did appreciate it more because, like you said, getting to spend time with people that we don't really know much at all. And I feel like that's been a little bit of a problem with some of the more recent challenge seasons, despite the fact that there are so many episodes. The episodes themselves are always focused on what is happening at that time. So it's whoever wins the daily, whoever's going into elimination. And we don't really get a chance to get to know some of the new people until it's their time to go home, basically. So I did like that we got the watch some of them just kick it and just kind of hang out. We got a little backstory into some of the dating histories in the past, some of the rivalries of the past. So it was nice to just kind of hang out with these people a little bit rather than have it all just be like game focused, voting focused.
I ultimately think that's where I come out too. I agree with you. My one gripe is, I was going to say grievance or complaint, but it was a gripe, but I like it. My one gripe is for all of the time we had, I still feel like not only did I feel like I walked out of the show not understanding the story of why John A made the decision she made. And I'm saying John A, not John A and Grant, because I think Grant tells us it's John A's full decision.
Yep.
But I was so confused by it that I sought out explanations. I followed John A on Twitter, which I arguably should have been doing anyway. I went to her Instagram, not just after I watched the episode, days later. I was like searching for her to be like, this isn't how it went down. Because honestly, like when the elimination happened and they said Kellyanne and Tristan's names, I was so confused by it. I was like, this John A is too good of a player and too good of a social game player for this to have been the way it happened, that I was searching for more, like, where's the shit they should have shown? Like, this made no sense to me.
So did she put out a tweet? Did anyone put out a tweet thing? There's nothing.
No, but this is why I thank our great listeners, because we could basically do this whole podcast with these five questions I pulled that I'm going to ask you, because it seems like we were all on the same page. I think the answer is in the, like, cracks of this episode, but they just could have told a straightforward story. And instead, I think they made Kellyanne last week look paranoid when she had reason to be, and they made Janae look like a bad social game player and sort of like a backstabber when she didn't need to be. I think the prevailing theory is it was in the clip they showed of Tori and Casey and Jonna saying about Wes, like, she's mad at you too, like, it's not just me, that the entire Legends team wanted Kellyanne in and Jonna didn't want to rock the boat. But like, tell me that story then more clearly.
Yeah, that was the reason that I came out of it as well, that in her mind, she was balancing, all right, I'm going to have people mad at me no matter who I vote in, obviously. So if I just vote in Kellyanne, yeah, she's going to be mad, but she's going to be the only one. And everyone else is going to be on board with it, including the eliminated team, with Nelson putting his hair up in his special code about who he wants to go in up against as well. So Jonna would have had the entire house on her side, backing her up with her decision. And in her mind, that was worth, fracturing any trust or loyalty she had with a potential ally.
But here is where the big, like, gaping holes are for me. Is like, one, why do we not see one conversation with Jody and Jonna? Those two players are too good to not have had a conversation. I know that conversation happened. Where was it? It wasn't just Jody talking shit about her partner doing nothing. Like, I didn't get that edit. And then why is Jonna making this deal with Kellyanne?
Yep.
Why is she not being forthcoming? Like, why is she choosing to blindside her and not saying and gaslighting her, basically? Like, I think she should gaslight her, but it should be in the reverse. She instead is like, well, you told everyone, you betrayed me, she's attacking me. Like, she constructed this narrative like she wasn't betraying her friend, she being Jonna. And that, to me, was very unsuccessful. Why not say to Kellyanne, I want to ride with you in this game. I don't know what to do. The house wants you in. Like, I'm going to be jeopardizing both of our games if I don't send you in. Like, tell me what to do. And I feel like Kellyanne would be like, I don't want you to hurt your game for me. Like, I'll go in or something. Like, why not tell her? I don't want you to be blindsided. Like, I know Kellyanne could be a tornado, but who cares? Let her spiral out and dig her own grave.
Yeah, I don't know if she would have been okay with her saying, I'm going to vote you in. I think that might have gone poorly. But I think that is the better move. What's funny was I was fully expecting, like you said, when it came to elimination, that it was going to be Jody. And if anything, I thought Jonna would have had already done enough damage to the relationship with Kelly, and that it had almost reached the point in my mind where she should just vote her in, because she seemingly had already damaged the trust anyway by entertaining it to such a degree. But then that conversation, it did seem like they were on such good terms, especially Kellyanne being like, okay, like, I can put it aside that you were really strongly considering voting me in. I want to work with you. Let's do this. I thought Jonna had done enough to repair that relationship. And then I was, again, doubly confused and surprised to see her actually vote her in, because Jonna did such a good job of convincing Kellyanne and us as the viewers that she was not going to do that.
Here's a question from Josh Green. Back in All Stars 2, Jonna specifically has a confessional saying how Jody can beat her in a final. Kellyanne is her friend. If you put Jody in, you have two Argentina teams against each other early. How is that a hard decision? It seems like 10 times out of 10, Jody should be going in here. And then Caitlin G says, do you think Jonna's decision to put Kellyanne in was pushed by the majority of the house? My question is, not only from Jonna's perspective, but why do you think, if it is the case that all the Legends wanted Kellyanne in, why do you think that is?
I just think they don't like her. I think she rubs people the wrong way. She's pretty abrasive. She could be, I think she was right to be paranoid, but I think the way she was going about it, I think, could rub people the wrong way. I think this group of Legends is pretty clicky. Kellyanne's not really in that clique. I just think they don't like her is really what it comes down to.
And I know they keep pressing on Kellyanne's, like, honesty to a fault, that she like told Tori to her face that she should be targeting the Americans, which is Tori's team, and that like the stronger teams should go first, so Kellyanne would be targeting them. But like, one, are they really closer with Jody and Benha than the Argentinian team? Like, 100% Jody would probably take the same actions that Kellyanne is saying. And also, like, Kellyanne, I think, on All Stars used to get targeted because she was a big threat. But realistically, after what we've seen on All Stars, and even after what we've seen here, Kellyanne cannot complete a puzzle. and her partner timed out during the puzzle in the testing round. So they are probably combined the least threatening team, because you will not win a final without an ability to solve a puzzle. And they just don't have it. So, like, I'm really not impressed by the Legends, who are supposed to be these, like, strategic masterminds, who are just kind of like what they do to Amber, making a personal decision over a good strategic gameplay decision.
Yeah, and for Jhonnie, when you hear Kellyanne be like, I want to go after the strong teams, that should be music to your ears, because that that allows someone else to do the dirty work that you don't have to. If Jhonnie wants to keep the peace and keep everyone happy, having Kellyanne be the one that, if she were to win, is going to go after some of your biggest threats, and then you could be like, oh, Kellyanne did it. I can't believe she would do that. I don't know why she would do something like that. That's so wrong of her. Like, you can then keep your hands clean from that situation. So Kellyanne, I feel like, in like a little sloppy-ish ways, but I feel like she was saying the right things to Jhonnie to keep her there. And I was very surprised that it didn't work.
Maybe she thought that if Jody, because I do think this, that both Jody and Benha and Kellyanne and Tristan were probably likely to be, well, in the elimination we saw, we're definitely have beaten them. I don't know if it was just like a headbanger what would have happened, but maybe she thought, okay, if the team I put in comes back, Kellyanne and Tristan are the least likely to ever be in power to harm me, or I can still kind of get Kellyanne's heartstrings going and salvage it, whereas Jody I would make an enemy out of. But she didn't play it with any finesse of like trying to maintain her relationship with Kellyanne that we saw. Like, I have to believe Jhonnie did better than this. It's not what we saw.
Yeah, to not see the single conversation with Jody and Jhonnie feels like a huge missing piece of this. Like, if you're going to do this and you're going to, you know, betray your seemingly closest ally to go along with the house, how do you not show the scene of Jhonnie and Jody, at least even if it's fake, coming to some sort of agreement? Like, all right, I am protecting you here, Jody. Now, if you're in power, I would expect you to do the same. Like, let's work this out. Let's make a pact to like work together. Like, How is that? That conversation had to have happened in some degree, and to not include it is a huge missing piece.
Yeah, like the story they were selling was Kellyanne is kooky and crazy and hurting Jhonnie's game, and she has to make a decision between her friend or her like benefit to her in the game. And that's just not the story that was happening. And so that frustrated me that we spent 45 minutes on a story that just to me didn't ring true.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
One question about the motivation of the other legends, or really about Casey. Grant says, not the Grant on the show. Well, maybe the Grant on the show.
Okay.
Says, between the social stuff in episodes 1 and 2 and the flashback pushing Kellyanne to Jhonnie, to put Kellyanne in, is this the most we've seen of the mechanism behind Casey's game?
Yeah, Casey's been really, definitely compared to some of our other seasons, that been very involved in a lot of the social conversations to the point that I have to show them. I think we're seeing a little bit as to how she's able to build some of her bonds. I think we talked about it a lot last week. So it's been a new Casey to some degree this season, and it's been, you know, kind of fun to watch.
I agree. I wish we've complained about this with MTV shows in the past, like chat versions of the challenge. Like, don't show me things in confessional. I mean, Survivor does that too. Like, after the fact, like, I want to see some of that's fun. But in this case, I was like, wow, I would have loved to see that conversation with Tori and Casey as John A was actually making the decision, and not just, oh, here's why it makes sense after we spent all of this time showing you why it doesn't. I did like this episode, and I feel like I'm just airing a lot of gripes. It's the word of the day. Like, the pitch that Tori and Casey were making to Jhené, the limited information we saw, was Kellyanne's going to go after the strong teams, and that means you, Jhené, you're one of the strongest teams. Like, Jhené is too smart for that. I don't believe that's why she put her in. And I wish we got Jhené saying to confessional, like, I need to appeal to the veteran alliance, the legend alliance. I don't believe Kellyanne would come for me, but I have to, like, assert my place or whatever, because everybody says that. That is, like, challenge 101. The weaker team's argument for not getting put in is, don't you want to keep me around to go against me? Don't you want to put in a stronger team? That's not the team in power. I just thought that was a crazy argument for Casey and Tori to try to be making. And I wanted to see Jhené, like, swat that down, not seem like she succumbed to it.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I completely agree, because if Jhené had saved Kellyanne here, as Wes says about Kellyanne, she's, I think you said the phrase, eerily loyal. Like, she would have rode to the end with Jhené 100% if Kellyanne protected her, if Jhené protected Kellyanne here. So, like, yeah, maybe if Kellyanne wins the next 7 challenges in a row and she gets to cut out all these other people, and then it's near the end and she gets to decide about who to cut with Jhené, maybe at that point she might think, like, oh, Jhené's won twice, I want to get rid of her. But that is very much a very unlikely situation. I think there'll be plenty of people that Kellyanne would look towards to cut later on in the season, well before she would look to get out Jhené.
And look, I don't know what this final is going to look like, and if it's going to skew more towards an all-star final, if it's going to skew towards more a typical final. Hopefully it skews as far away from a USA final as possible. But, like, and Jhené is amazing, and those were real finals, and they were hard. But as we've discussed, the all-stars competition is not Tori and Casey. So if Jhené's plan should be to go to the final with Jody and Kellyanne, you can beat them. You've beat them before, or you have a better chance. Going to the final against Tori and Casey, I'm not saying Jhené can't beat them, but why would you want to try?
Yep. No, I completely agree. The rationale makes no sense, and I would have loved to hear the confessional or the conversation from Jhené afterwards. And if she, even if it was as, like, she was able to use this Nelson thing a little bit to kind of skirt by, but no one's going to believe that. And Jhené has to know no one's going to believe, like, oh, Nelson convinced me to do it because he put his hair up at the elimination. Like, no one's going to buy that. So I would have loved to hear a real explanation from her as to what her long game, you know, rationale was for this decision.
And yeah, maybe ultimately she just didn't care. She was like, Kellyanne's not going to add value to me. She's going to drag me down because people don't like her, like you said. And so I'll work out my friendship with her in the real world. She's, like, not useful to me in this game, like a la Brad and Nehemiah on All Stars, where it's like, we're just not working together, but our friendship is going to be fine after this. You can't always work with your friends.
Yeah, I'll say this, though, like, if they really are good friends, and Jhené was like, I can't believe she would, like, throw away our friendship just because I'm going to, like, vote her in. It's like, you have the entire cast, like, this is episode 1. I know you have a choice between only two teams, but if you're really that close of friends, like, that's, it feels very laissez-faire to just be like, oh, we're good friends, but they can get by with me throwing her in a game worth for $500,000. I feel like if that was my friend, I would be very pissed. And I feel like that is almost worthy of losing a friend over. Like, if my friend did that to me week 1, that seems crazy to me.
Oh, I've been a lot more mad for a lot less.
Right.
But, but, like, Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. And that's what I mean. Like, especially in the way she did it, the blind side, the we're going to work together. No, right. We're not. Yes, we are. And now you're in. Like, again, like, come hat in hand to her and say, like, the entire, I hate to tell you this, the entire house is telling me I have to put you in. Like, yes. What should I do? And even right. If she's like, don't put me in, don't put me in. Like, at least you're building sort of a sympathetic case, like you care. Janae wrote her off like a crazy person, at least again in the edit we've seen. Like, I have to hear from Janae on this because I can't believe it. She's too good for this kind of edit.
Yeah. And the visual of Kelly just walking back in with like her luggage rolling over with Janae laying in the bed was a very funny scene at the end of it, but that was a funny visual.
Yeah. I also thought, again, like, I don't want to throw gaslighting around, but the like Janae's energy towards her was so unfair. Like, it was so valid, and don't tell me John A would understand if the situation were reversed.
Yeah, it did feel very like, I am the two-time winner, you are the no-time winner, I am the queen here, like, this is what my decision is. And it did feel very dismissive at that point.
It's a slip up based on what we saw. Again, normally I'm not this like worried about what actually happened versus what we saw, but I just like, I kind of can't believe it, especially when like social gameplay is, another big part of Janae's social game is she can kind of read where the majority is going and be a part of it and like work that to her advantage. But at the same time, like, we've seen her ride or die so hard for some of her alliances, like with MJ, for example. Like, it just seems so out of her character to like cut somebody so viciously.
Yeah, that's the part, again, like, I think we're in total agreement. It's not even that she voted her in. It's that she built her up to be safe and had this whole conversation. And I think that was Kellyanne's point at the end. She was like, then why did we have this like conversation 4 hours ago where you were like, you're 100% safe, you're not going in, like, we're into the end together, like, don't worry. She was like, why would you do that? And yeah, I think if she's explained it exactly how we've laid out, like, the whole house is against me, I can't torpedo my game, I have to vote you in, but I'm pulling for you to win, I'll try to help you win the elimination and try to win, and then, you know, maybe we could work on repairing some of your relationships together when you're back in the house so we can try to form like a new coalition to go at this together. But I just have to do this. Yeah, maybe she would be pissed at the moment, but she would be much less pissed than if you built her up just to rip her back down.
Let's talk about the motivations behind the other legends, like wanting to get rid of Kellyanne, because it's not just, excuse me, sorry. Whoops.
Bless you. The spring allergies are coming out.
Well, if I'm being honest, I'm in my slime era and I'm playing with slime right now. I think it's me.
Emily has what she calls, I think, the therapy goo or whatever. It's like a pack of goo that she just like plays around with at her desk. Yeah.
Millennial women dealing with anxiety, you know? therapy goo. That's so funny. I like slime era. I think that is the difference between me and Emily, is that she would call it like an adult name with constructive help, and I'm like a 5-year-old child.
I could be totally making up that name. I know there's an exact name for it, but again, in my head, that's what I call it. And then I'm sure there is a more formal name than that.
I was almost coming in with a decent segue, but no. So like, we get a sort of peek behind the strategy curtain when Danny and Ben and Tori are talking. And, you know, Tori kind of says, oh, we made promises as legends kind of coming into this game, seemingly before they knew the format. And now we can't keep those promises because, like, we're all on different teams. But if Wes or Jordan touches me and Casey, that's a wrap. Victoria says, have we seen either of them close with Wes before? Was this interesting to you, this little strategy reveal?
A little bit. I mean, it's tough to get a full sense of it, because with the voting dynamics, it's not necessarily you're just like touching one team. Like, you're, for the most part, it's gonna be voting along with the whole house to put in two teams, and you're only really having to make that decision if you win. So I do wonder, for some of these teams that are playing both sides, are we gonna kind of see more of like what we saw for 38, where people aren't really trying to win because that way they're not having to be the one to pick a side and put one team in. They can kind of just go along with the house and do more of a group vote.
Well, that's Wes's favorite thing to claim. I think Bananas did a better job mentioning it during the show than Wes has ever done, but maybe that's not true. Anyway, I do think it's interesting that this little foursome is emerging, because that sort of makes like the reason I was segueing into this before I sneezed over my slime is Wes and Kellyanne have a really close relationship, which is discussed on the last few episodes. And it's not like Kellyanne is alone on an island with Jonna. It's just Wes is now, as he said with the great confessional of him and Zara, we're what? Playing both sides.
Yeah.
And so he can't step out to put his neck out for Kellyanne. But it's just interesting that that's where the chips are falling, that he's sort of getting into bed with Kellyanne and Tori, which does feel a bit random.
It does. I mean, I wouldn't say they have a close relationship. I think they have a history, but I don't think if they're on the same season together, people are like, oh, Wes and Kellyanne are definitely working together. I think they would work together if it's convenient for them, but I don't think they would at all be thinking going into a season, oh, we got each other's backs.
Oh, really? Because I feel like that's what they were pushing in the last two episodes, is that like, we dated for this many years, we're very close, and Jonna says like she's pissed at you too, like that there's a bond there.
I think there's a bond, but I think there's a difference between like just like I think Wes would choose vote in other people before Kellyanne, but I wouldn't say like they're anywhere near each other's number ones, number twos, or number threes. I think they're just like out of respect look out for each other because they have a history of, you know, being exes from such a long time ago at this point.
I think at least last episode too, it seemed like Wes didn't want Kellyanne to go in, but he didn't push that hard. And I think that's where it goes back to like, he doesn't want to be in Jonna's position because he set himself up with his pregame calls, like that he's locked in with the newer era of legends. And he's still like soft locked with Kellyanne and Jonna, such that it doesn't really matter what happens. And he's lucky he's not Jonna and Grant. And maybe, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Jonna that she always wants to win. But like, yeah, did she kind of hose herself here? Maybe.
Yeah. And the worry I do have with like a larger group forming, it gives me even more thought that I feel like the voting dynamics should be reversed. Because at this point, why I think it's so great when you have like the one team that wins, they could pick a team to go in, is it does give that like at any given Sunday, like the team that's ostracized could have the power and they could throw a team in that's like from the top of the heap of the other group. But if you have a large group of four or five teams, like they can basically just control the house vote now, no matter what. So unless one of them lose, they're never going to go in no matter who wins, because they could just control the two teams that are going to go into the pool for the winner to decide who goes in. So I wish the winner had the power to pick the two teams and then have the house vote. I think that would have been a much more fun and interesting dynamic than the way they're doing it now, because it does set themselves up in that group of like four or five teams that can really just control things for the most part.
And at the very least, like going back to what you said, which I didn't notice last week, is like whether they have whether the team should have an individual vote and a house vote or a group one, because like it seems like the hope that of the season having sort of like a counterpoint is in Sarah and Danny and Ben's hands. And like the Argentinians, but like, are they really going to be able to sort of do that when their legends aren't on board?
Right. Exactly. And I think you could still have like the individual dynamic vote between the two teams where, you know, the one team votes one in from one country, another from another country. And you can have like that individual dynamic still playing out with still giving like an any given Sunday mentality of whoever wins can decide who goes in.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think we're going to come into some friction there. But a question sort of about whether there should be division between the teams. Carla says, does Danny realize this isn't Survivor? Targeting your partner's number one because they might choose them over me in a pairs game seems so misguided, especially so early in the game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Unless he's still in the mindset of, you know, the algorithm. Sorry.
Hey, Sonny.
You know, he's still in the mindset of like the algorithm, things might change. Maybe he's expecting things to change as it gets down to it. So there's always that possibility. Sorry, if anyone even moves outside this house, something gets very upset.
It's honestly so interesting hearing him bark in a house versus an apartment. It feels like much further away, much more echoey. I could tell you have a lot more space.
Yeah, there's some still empty space, which allows the echo to travel even more.
Yeah, I do think there's this weird dynamic that Danny is building between him and Tori with Jordan. Like, you should be happy that you're paired with somebody who has such a loyal partner alliance in the house. I agree, though, that Like, the only way it would kind of come in is if, like, Tori and Danny were in an elimination and he wanted Jordan for some reason and Tori was like, no, don't put Jordan down, or Danny doesn't want to run the final against Jordan and Tori wants to because she doesn't care so much about her own individual money. Like, maybe that's more of it. But I agree, it is giving, like, a concern that it becomes an individual or a shakeup game and then, like, you're not my partner. But then it's like, well, then make a better bond with your partner. Like, anybody could really not. If Tristan and Kellyanne separated tomorrow, they wouldn't look out for each other.
No. No, they would not. Do you think we're getting a switch up? I feel like these pairs are here to stay for the whole show.
No, I don't think we're getting a switch up. I just think, like, to your point of him being used to the algorithm, like, he might be thinking about it like that.
Yeah.
Even if it's not going to happen. Because we what? Don't know the rules as we're playing the game.
Was I supposed to follow it up with that exact phrase like you did? No, never mind.
No, you think I'm setting you up for a bit? No, all my setups are for myself. Fantastic. I'm Tori.
What do you make
You're
of them?
You're gonna have to get rid of me. I'm my own number one.
It still always throws me off when there's some curse things, some F bombs being dropped. I feel some of them are kind of forced just to sound kind of tough, that they're just saying the F, you know, just to say it for fun. It doesn't feel natural a lot of the times.
I'm so sorry. I never would normally admit this, but Matt Lagori put something so funny in our chat and it got distracted. Say that one more time. Shout out to the challenge. Oh my God, and series involved. Shout out
it's to chaos. The challenge. It's chaos in the streets. Do you find the cursing natural in the professionals? I find it a little cringeworthy sometimes.
The curse, you know, I didn't notice any cursing because I'm such a potty mouth. Like, it just feels at home. Did someone curse?
A few. Tori dropped a couple F-bombs in some of her confessionals, some other people too. I noticed it with Tori just because it felt the most unnatural coming for her from her for some reason. So it just, like, stood out. Like, oh, this just feels like you're just trying just to sound edgy by dropping, like, an F-bomb.
Do you curse a lot?
I feel like I used to a lot more. I feel like it's slowed down as I've gotten older and mature. I usually save it more for, like, you know, big sporting events because I'm also a child at heart. So, you know, Yankees blow a big lead, there will be an F-bomb that is exuded from my presence. But for the most part, I feel like I've slowed it down.
Okay.
Do I give big cursing energy?
No, I just didn't. I guess I don't notice when people curse. I think I used to curse on this podcast more and then decided I didn't want that in the ether. And I agree. I mean, I don't, like, curse in professional settings. I guess I've made this professional.
That would be incredible.
Well, work emails. 10 minutes ago saying a curse, I didn't even notice.
Well, we should be able to just curse at work emails. Be like, what the F are you doing, you stupid effing idiot on this project? That would be so much fun.
Well, that's more abuse than like, it's like, we got the effing account. Like, that's cursing at work.
I guess that's true.
He's an idiot. Whether you curse it out is abuse.
Yeah, but you know, you say people say it in their heads plenty of times, but I guess they don't say it in the emails.
I've gotten more mature, and I'd like to curse people out at work. I had to pick up my anxiety goo. What is that? My therapy buddy.
I dig it in with my fingers in the poo. That's what I do.
Oh, it's a Survivor reference. The way you said it was so gross.
Oh my God. Okay.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Oh, here's something you mentioned about Nelson's little technique. He's like, I'm going to put my hair up if I want Kellyanne's team, and I'm not going to leave my hair down when I see the elimination if I want Ben Han Jody.
Yep.
In what world? Because then we get the confessional. There's so many things going on here. There's Ben Han and Huhui who don't want to go against each other, Argentina strong. Then there's Jody who just doesn't want to go in, but frankly would love for Ben Han to go home, seemingly, without her. And then there's the confessional we get with Nelson and Huhui, where they're like, we don't want to go against Argentina. We want to go against Kellyanne and Tristan. And all of this goes to, like, is there a world where Nelson was ever going to leave his hair down and call for the co-Argentinian to go in? And even if so, like, what do you think of this strategy? I mean, John A says it comes off a little arrogant, but also, like, no one's going to be making their real decision on the fly. If you want to make your pitch for who to go in, make your pitch for who you want to go in.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen people do this before where we more so seen it, I feel like, when it's the people in power, when it's like, it was the Red Skull era, when they could have the decision if they wanted to go in to get their skull, and they're going to do it based off, you know, what the elimination looked like. But for the most part, and I feel like we've said this a lot, outside of like the couple of iconic eliminations, it is almost impossible to really judge what you're doing in a challenge elimination based on just what the setup is. Unless there's like a pole on the ground or the hall or like the rope knot maze, like those things, you know what you're doing. For the most part, these things are pretty new and unique that there's no real way to judge the skill set. You don't have the percentage breakdown scorecard right in hand and you can like match up about whose strength and weaknesses you'd rather match up in this point. So it's going to be very rare that you can actually pinpoint it. And I think Nelson, maybe it was to give him a little like 4D chess credit. I feel like maybe he was then trying to, the way that he was, that John A was going to like blame the decision on Nelson, he was going to blame the decision on, oh, I just thought, I didn't really care either way. I just thought this elimination matched up best for me to go against you, Kellyanne. And that's why I did it, not for any alliance or strategic reasons. I just, this is who I thought I would do, you know, best against me, maybe.
But Nelson doesn't owe Kellyanne anything, and it's who he didn't want to go against Benha. Like, it's built in. He doesn't need an excuse. I think the last person Kellyanne would be mad about is Nelson. And either way, one of them's going home. So, like, I guess in the world where John A puts Jody in and he campaigned to get Kellyanne, it's like, I don't think there's any love lost there. And it's like, well, the other option was my partner's team.
Right. No, look, none of it made sense. It was just, it's a very funny visual to see like Nelson trying to like play Godfather with like, I'm going to put my hair up, and John A, the confessional is like, Nelson, do whatever you want, but like, I'm not making my decision based off that. And then they should have done like the jump cut of John A being in bed, being like, well, Nelson told me to do it. You know, that's who I based my decisions off of. Nelson's this, you know, hairstyle.
Which is frankly more insulting. Like, what relationship do John A. and Nelson have? Like, you're going to honor Nelson by putting me in? Like, that is so ridiculous.
What relationship do her and Jody have either?
Nelson thought, at least they've done seasons together. Like, Nelson thought he could beat you, and I wanted to honor that. Like, that's giving Nelson what he wants is sending me home. So that's even, I think, more offensive. But what's funny is, and I sympathize with Nelson, I do think, like, he would have called for them anyway. But to your point about not being able to discern what the challenges are, is like, this kind of looked puzzly because the shapes, it was like different shapes and colors.
Yeah.
But ironically, it ends up being a much better option for Kellyanne and Tristan because of like their height and weight like distribution. Whereas I believe Ben Hall looks like a little shorter to me. Like, I feel like he would have been a better person to have against than Tristan here.
Yeah, and I don't even think the last part of it was even a puzzle, right? It was just, like, stacking it.
No, just stacking
it. Yeah, it wasn't even, like, for a specific order. So, yeah, this was all about the technique. And, yeah, poor Nelson. I mean, the guy, I mean, everyone's yelling at him. This is why, this is, like, an example of why I don't want them to take away people helping people out. Because then you have this very funny moment where everyone is telling Nelson, like, dude, stop grabbing her. Let the momentum play out. Just guide her along the way. And for some reason, he just can't help himself. Every time Huhui came swinging along, there's Nelson grabbing and stopping her, resetting, and trying to start all over again. And everyone has just looked so exacerbated in the audience, being like, what is this guy doing?
It was really tough to watch. A complete complete disaster. I do feel bad because I love Nelson, but I was rooting for Tristan and Kellyanne regardless, because like we needed to see this like pay off. But yeah, it was tough to get a dodo edit during the elimination is really rough.
Yeah, that's a rarity. Not great. The fact that you only got the one when it just like fell out of the other team's hands, not ideal for Nelson and Ahui. So first to go, they were probably the least likely team to win a final or get there and do all the stuff. So no major threat off the board, and kind of keeps the rest of the power dynamics in play going forward.
Here's a tough question, especially given the circumstances, but we're asking this in the context of the challenge world. DTM says, I type this sadly, but Nelly T can never win, right? He just doesn't have the brain for puzzles and solving more complicated physical challenges. Can he learn that? Is there an example of someone who was like Nelly and then grew to be a champion? Sigh, it makes me sad.
So this is going to be an extreme stretch, but Bananas always had the reputation of being very bad at puzzles. Like that was his thing. Like he couldn't do them. He was very bad at them. He seemingly has gotten better at it. So I think you can get better at some puzzle and decision making. And like after Devin won, I think that opens the door up for other flawed people that can win the show based off partners and teams. So I wouldn't say he can never win. He did come very close. I think he finished second. That wasn't even that very far behind in Invasion when he almost won that season. So I definitely will not say he can never win. Although honestly now with his, you know, unfortunately his horrible injury, his big skill set is his physical strength. And I don't know if that's going to really dampen that going forward. So that obviously remains to be seen, but just taking this current version of Nelson that we would have thought, I you can't say he can never win.
No, I'm not saying he can never win. And I think Devin's a tough compare because I think the sort of strategic thinking and like you can practice puzzles, but just sort of like this kind of thing, like the taking your time, looking at it, thinking about it strategically, that like Jordan, West, Bananas, and Devin all have. CT has it. That can't be learned as much as you can run on a treadmill and get yourself in better physical shape. Like you, like Devin will never be in the physical shape that Nelson is in. Like that will never happen. Your body has its own limitations, but like in terms of the physical needed to win, you can work to that more than you can the like mental stuff, I think. But with the right partner, like Norris was a great partner for Nelson, like the right team or the right partner. I just think Uhui wasn't the right partner for him. I mean, this wasn't her fault, but like maybe where Nelson has to sort of be the captain of the team, I think is tough.
Yep.
If Nelson had Tori as a partner, like Devin had Tori, could he win with Tori? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was on, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, we were discussing a potential winner's edit for Nelson just last season. So, and I think you look at the structure of that final, I think if he has someone who could really have helped them do that puzzle that Bananas and Nani failed, and they were like, he was the strength and he had someone helping him do that portion. And then you look at the other stages of that, Nelson, I think, like would have smashed those other stages. So like that final would have kind of been the perfect scenario for Nelson to win. So the situation is out there. The stars need to align. He can't just like walk into a season and expect to win. There needs to be some very specific things going right for him to win a final and to really get there and do the whole nine yards.
Some of the little social elements, just to touch on quickly before we wrap up here. So we found out, and I didn't know this because I didn't watch Australia, but Emily found love on her season with Ryan, and they were on a 3-week trip, and now they're living together. And I had to go through this because she didn't say this on the show, but they flashed a picture of an engagement ring. So I took a little dive. And they got engaged March 6th of this year. So I think they retroactively like put a photo in, but that's why she's not saying it in the confessional that they're engaged, because she was engaged when they filmed. But it's kind of wild. So this guy, Ryan, was on Married at First Sight in Australia. So he was definitely motivated to get married. And he was going to be on a show called The Bachelors Australia, where they have three bachelors, but he got cut at the last minute. This is according to SoDramaticOnline.com, which is contrary to most people's belief, not the name of my blog. So he wouldn't have been on the challenge and he wouldn't have met Emily, who's now married to, if he was going to go do The Bachelors. Then I read about the outcome of The Bachelors and, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, the challenge sometimes produces better romance than the Bachelor ever does. So, you know, good on them. Find love here.
Yeah, only one couple from the Bachelors. Spoiler alert, the couple that didn't get engaged on the Bachelors is the only couple still together. Real life, folks.
Amazing.
Speaking of love, Kaz and Theo getting along. We have a little segment there. Are Kaz and Theo the next Cam and Leroy?
They it's giving similar vibes, right? Like they had a relationship, they went their separate ways, and the only reason they seemingly are even back talking to each other is because of this show. It seems like they have a very fun banter with each other. Theo's, you know, like jokingly, like, oh, I'm perfect. She was the one. She was doing all this stuff. Like she was making it lighthearted. It wasn't like a serious thing or anything. Like they feel like they had good banter with each other. I could see it if they both last long enough, and you know their teams start to work together. I could see, you know, there could be some fun wedding bells in store for these two kids down the road.
Are they single? I'm like not clear on their relationship status.
I mean, I hope so. After I just married them, so I hope they're both single.
I mean, Theo has a baby. I don't know the status of him and his the woman who's the mother of his child. I'm not quite sure. So. More to come on that potentially.
I'm just so glad Theo's back. He is so fun. I love the energy he has. He's just such a fun person to have on the show again, and it is so great to have him back on back on my TV.
He's Dan. And then speaking of lost love, just a quick note on Tori and Jordan, who just get a very quick like, we're homies that ride together now, and we're in the best place we've ever been. Caitlin G says, how nice is it to have Tori and Jordan on a season and not have them take up 80% of confessionals and storyline?
Yeah, well, for now. I mean, I was getting a little worried that they even had the segment. I just hope that was like there. Okay, like for the people that just watch, you know, 38, like we're now in a good, much better place after that. We're happy with each other and all this other stuff. I'm okay with that. Let's leave it be. Unless some super traumatic happens during the show and, you know, it needs to be talked about, that's fine. But I really hope this is all we're really going to get from it, and we can kind of just move on and like them just now being like, you know, exes just living together.
I'm optimistic because I think we got that segment in like the same way of like, oh, if you like the Challenge Argentina and you're coming here, we have to tell you what happened here. Just like we need to know about Kaz and Theo because we don't know about the UK. Like,
right.
So like, I think if we needed to know that there's still drama, the storyline would have been like, oh, we, you know, like we're still not in a good place. Like we'll see, you know, like that kind of thing. Instead, they kind of close the loop. But what's really weird is they haven't told us anything about Naya and Jordan. So is that not going to matter? Are we not going to be in the same Norris Jordan triangle? Like the Naya of it all is very strange. So the last time we saw Jordan and Naya, they had a lot of love for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll come out when the story deems it worthy, I feel like, during this season. And we'll get some answers there.
It is funny, though, because I was thinking to myself, like, imagine if you are a Challenge CBS watcher only or one of the other franchises and you're coming and like this, you're like, why is everyone so like freaked out about Tori and Jordan? Like, they're fine. Like, this is the only content you have about them.
Yeah. It'd be like watching like any other show with like I don't want to make another Vanderpump reference, so I'm going to stop myself. But yeah, it'd be something like that.
Blessed. I have some general questions, or we could wrap, please. And I could save them for next week.
Let's do one general, and let's save the rest for next week.
Okay. So, Elizabeth in Denver says, "Is this a hot take? I'd rather have a season of all the country people and no legends. They have too much baggage, and the newbies are really just their partners along for the ride. I'd much rather have like 6 or 8 people from each country and they all compete with people from their countries. Maybe I'm just over the Jordan and Tori story."
Yeah, I mean, I understand that take. And I think I've always been more of the mind, I'd rather see people on these shows that I'm familiar with, which is why like something like The Traitors, I've always been less inclined to watch like the UK one where it's all new people. It's why it was hard for me to get into like the Australia or the Argentinian Challenge one, where if I don't have a connection to the people at all, it is very difficult for me to get into a show like this, just completely blind. So for me, I like having some people I'm familiar with and then mixing in the new people. But I do think there is some fatigue with Tori and Casey and, you know, all these other people that have been on seasons now for 3, 4, 5 in a row. I understand the fatigue with some of these people.
It's hard because I do think like it's what you advocated for in the format for episode 1 or episode 0, that like at least we got to see one episode of what they would be doing without the legends. And like this does seem to be like a really dynamic, exciting cast of these new people. Like, I like a lot of the people, but I do think if it was like brand new, like Challenge CBS, even though we know those people, like when I went to watch Australia or when I went to watch UK, I lost interest because like, I do like having some familiar faces, like you're saying. So I think if this was P plus War of the Worlds and it didn't have any of the legends, I would still watch it, but I wouldn't be as excited. And so I do think like we're in agreement that like I'd rather have some of Challenge legend people than none, even if, like you said, there is some natural fatigue in that. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how it comes down. I think that complaint is going to become more and more popular and less of a hot take if what you've predicted happens, which is just like the massive core alliance of Casey, Tori, Wes, Jhené and their partners or whoever else is wrapped up in that, just get rid of, you know, Amber's team, Justine and Bananas are together. I mean, Tori didn't mention Bananas, so maybe Bananas. Like, if we just see a big legend-driven alliance chipping off everybody else, I think that'll become a better take, whatever.
Agreed. Oh. All right.
Finish how you start. Just scrambled.
You can subscribe to this at robswebsite.com/challengefeed. Episode 4 next week. You can follow me on Twitter at @ConanBryan_, also on TikTok. I gotta get back to doing TikToks. I feel like I've fallen off. I gotta get back to it. Bad job by me. They can follow you
at Lash Tweets and check out the questions thread over there. Again, great questions. Really awesome questions from the audience this week. Keep them coming. And if you want to listen to New Girl, Old Guy, we're going to have an episode that comes out at the end of the week. So don't worry, it's coming with special guest Rourke Luskin. anchor.fm/NewGirlOldGuy.
Amazing. We'll be back next week for episode 4. Until then, have a good one.